Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Good on Paper by Valerie Tejeda, narrated by Stacy Gonzalez. Why Marrying Your Best Friend is a Recipe for Disaster by Jasmine Prado. Happy couples love giving one piece of marriage advice above all others. Marry your best friend. It's the de facto pearl of wisdom meted out by lifestyle magazines, family, and friends. Maybe even your own parents at one point or another. Cheesy social media captions, and pretty much anyone in a successful, loving relationship. Except, here's the thing. Marrying your best friend, in most cases, is actually a recipe for disaster. Divorce rates are through the roof, but that's nothing new. While it's a bit tricky to pin down the exact number, around 50% of marriages end in divorce. And one recent study of more than 1,000 divorcees found that nearly 83% claimed they had, in fact, married their best friend. So it begs the question, have we been going about finding our perfect long-term partner the wrong way all this time? Before you write me off as some bitter, marriage-hating single, stay with me for a second. There's nothing wrong with marrying your best friend. Sure, the familiarity and comfort that go hand in hand with knowing someone inside and out is nice. You can probably be completely yourself around them. But can your best friend really check off the laundry list of qualifications needed in a lifelong partner? In most cases, the answer is a resounding no. Maybe when it comes to marriage, we should be looking for partners who are a match for us on paper, who line up with our life plan, and just learn more about them along the way. Think about a job interview and the kind of questions asked. They might inquire about your goals and long-term plans, about your qualifications and past experience. They'll almost certainly ask for your biggest strengths and weaknesses, why you want to work there, what you feel you can offer, the list goes on. The interviewer, or company, really, is looking for a compatible partnership. One that is mutually beneficial and fulfills the needs of both parties. Maybe you've become friends or even best friends with your coworkers or even your boss. I know I've made lasting friendships throughout my professional tenure. But that wasn't the reason you got hired there. Dating sites and apps use similar data-driven approaches for finding a suitable match. While filling out the questionnaire, it might feel like you're back in the hot seat, interviewing for your next job. There's an endless array of metrics and data points that will be collected to help pair two singles together in the hopes of a lasting relationship. But do you know the one question they won't ask? Are you best friends? All I'm saying is, best friends are best friends for a reason. Yes, friendships can deepen to an incredible point of trust, blossoming into something truly beautiful. And romantic relationships evolving into deep friendships is a completely different situation. But trying to shift a best friend into the role of long-term romantic partner is like trying to force a round peg into a square hole. It's just not a good fit. And more often than not, it will lead to another divorce statistic, not a lifetime of happiness and bliss. Chapter 1. Past, 21 years old. God, I have no idea what to get, I said as I fanned through the drink menu at an upscale cocktail bar called Taberna in West Los Angeles. The walls inside were dark gray and splashed with paintings from local artists, and a lone neon sign that read, "Sinners and Saints Welcome." The whole place smelled like lavender and strawberries mingled with the bite of hard liquor and bad decisions. I was there with Leonardo Couture, my childhood best friend, whom I promised years ago I'd have my first official bar experience with.
I have no idea what to get either, Leo replied. But I know I want something with lots of tequila in it.
I laughed, my eyebrows rising. Starting out strong, huh?
Well, I'm beyond bored of beer in the dorms. Speaking of which, how are things at that ridiculous school of yours?
You mean the school that's way better than yours? It's amazing. Thanks for asking, I replied with a hint of sass. Leo chuckled. I was at USC on an academic scholarship, and Leo was at UCLA on a soccer scholarship. Of course, we would end up at rival colleges. We were always competing. I sucked in a breath of dry air.
But what about you? How's the photography stuff going?
Leo was studying to be a nature photographer and documentarian, something right up his alley.
Good. Nothing too exciting going on at the moment.
His eyes moved from the menu to meet mine.
By the way, that eyeshadow looks really nice on you. It brings out the gold and copper flecks in your eyes.
Leo always noticed color, light, details, everything.
Thanks,
I said, turning my face back to the menu to conceal my blush.
Anything new and exciting going on with you?
He asked. Leo and I had never gone a day without speaking, even if it was just a quick text message. But truthfully, there's only so much you can update each other on via text. We were due for a good catch-up.
Maybe, maybe not, I teased, shrugging my shoulders.
What's with the mysteriousness, Jasmine Prado?
Leo often said my first and last name together. It was endearing.
Gotta keep you guessing, don't I?
Damn it. Was I flirting with him? I knew I shouldn't be flirting with Leo. That would only complicate things. My gaze moved away again. But as I slyly looked over, I noticed he was sneaking in glances, scanning me over from head to toe as I sat on the bar stool beside him. I was wearing a little black dress that hugged my body in all the right places, shiny black pumps, hoop earrings, my Indalo charm bracelet from Spain that I never left home without. I'd styled my long dark hair with loose flowing curls, pale pink on my lips, eyeliner framing my brown eyes, and a highlighter to complement my bone structure. I went all out. Blood rushed to my face as I watched Leo take me in. And suddenly, I was captivated by how beautifully his brown wavy hair felt right around his ears, framing his high cheekbones, and how his golden brown skin glistened against it. He had on a fitted black shirt and black jeans that perfectly outlined his toned frame, and a 5 o'clock shadow on his face. 21 looked good on him. I attributed my sudden appreciation for Leo's exterior to the bar's well-placed lighting. It had to be that. Seconds later, the bartender stepped up across from us and set a martini in front of me.
Oh, I didn't order that.
Compliments of the gentleman,
he thumbed at a table behind us. I looked over my shoulder and noticed a man in a tailored gray suit sitting alone at a table. He had dirty blonde hair and a nicely groomed beard. When he noticed me look over, he raised his own matching martini in a kind of salute. I waved back with a hesitant smile.
Whoa. This is not how it's supposed to go. Pretty sure I'm the only one who's buying you drinks tonight.
Leo nudged me. He was grinning, but I couldn't tell if he was joking or a little bit jealous. For some reason, I hoped it was the latter.
You're buying me drinks? I don't remember that being part of the plan. I would have picked an even more expensive spot.
I teased, and he laughed. I reached for the stem of the martini glass. What am I supposed to do, reject this dude's drink?
Have them pour it down the sink? That would be wasteful.
Leo rolled his eyes. I suppose you shouldn't waste it, no.
Also, if you're planning to buy me drinks, I need to buy yours, I insisted.
No way. I wanted to take you out as a late birthday thing.
It was just your birthday, too. We were born only a few days apart. Leo's birthday was November 15th, and mine was November 21st. And I thought this was more of a thing we were supposed to experience together, not my birthday celebration. My nose wrinkled a little.
Can't it be both?
I guess. I tilted the glass toward him, then carefully set the martini back down. When I looked up at him, an unfamiliar warmth swirled in my chest.
So you want to take me out for my birthday, huh?
Does that mean this counts as a date?
I've never been on an official date with Leo Couture.
My grin turned sly. Then Leo did something that surprised me. He ran his finger over my hand where it rested on the bar top. Softly. Gently. Tracing the back of my palm in a way that sent shivers down my spine. Heat radiated from his fingertips, and the searing look in his eyes made my stomach flip.
First time for everything, he replied, his voice softer now, coy.
I casually drew my hand away, ignoring a pang of regret in the pit of my stomach, and put it around the martini glass in front of me. I was ready for that drink. Something, anything to distract myself from those butterflies. But as I raised the glass once more, Leo stopped me.
Not yet. We have to have our first bar experience together.
Well, then order something, for fuck's sake, I laughed. Leo waved for the attention of the bartender and ordered some version of a margarita. Once his drink was ready, we held them up for a toast.
To our many years as best friends, and hopefully, many more.
Best friends who apparently go on dates, I said, before grinning and taking a sip of my martini. Damn, it was strong. The vodka made my nose water. I tasted fruits, too. Cranberries, orange peel, a hint of lime. The sweet cut down on the burn. It was not a drink I would have thought to order, but it wasn't bad. I snuck another sip before I sat it back down.
Wow, that's good vodka, I said before I lightly coughed.
How's yours?
Amazing. Wanna try it?
He tilted the cup toward me. My gaze drifted to the salt on the glass, to the spot where his lips had worn away the rim. The urge to put my lips where his had been suddenly felt dangerous. I cleared my throat. Nah, I'll finish this one first. And after taking a couple of big gulps, I said in a rush, So are you still with Elizabeth? He nearly choked on his margarita. Leo had been on and off with Elizabeth Milton since we were teens. Elizabeth was blonde, blue-eyed, and deceptively perfect. She was someone who I longed to be like during my awkward junior high years, when I hadn't yet made peace with my brown hair, sharp nose, and bushy eyebrows. Leo and Elizabeth were always up and down and all over the place. And during the times he was off with Elizabeth, he would often casually date someone else. I couldn't remember the last time Leo was truly single.
Damn. Cutting right to the chase.
He ran his fingers through his hair. Well, you said we were on a date, so I figured I would ask.
You know, I'm not about being the other woman, I joked.
Though there was truth behind it. Your Facebook said it's complicated, so I wasn't sure. He scratched his head.
But you don't have Facebook. Fuck.
Heat rushed to my cheeks. Oh, a friend of mine told me. Someone who knows someone who you know at UCLA, or something like that. I took another longer sip of my martini, completely aware of the fact that I gave myself away. Truth was, I'd had one of my dorm mates look up Leo's profile a few days before, just out of curiosity. Leo smiled. I always loved his smile. He had the best smile. It was a beaming, ear-to-ear smile filled with so much joy. He was always so present, so in the moment. It made you want to be there with him, too.
So you were stalking my profile?
No, I quickly shot back. Just getting the most up-to-date information. I'm a journalist major and a Scorpio. It's practically my job to snoop. Plus, you haven't told me anything in weeks. And apparently your Facebook status or whatever it's called changes as quickly as I can blink. Leo flushed, looking appropriately chastised.
We hadn't had a good talk in a while, he protested, before he swallowed a long gulp of his own drink.
I picked up my glass and imitated him. In doing so, I downed the last of my drink. That went quick. So, how complicated is it? I asked, almost afraid of the answer. Leo tilted up his head and stared at the ceiling for a second before answering.
Not that much, really. We're not together at the moment, but we're still friends.
Still on and off, it's fair to say? I side-eyed him.
I guess so.
My stomach dropped. Strangely, that was not the answer I wanted to hear. I hoped he would say he was done with Elizabeth forever. That this time they'd finally decided they were better off not trying to make this odd thing between them work. But I reminded myself, firmly, that it shouldn't matter to me. I was his friend.
Enough about Elizabeth,
Leo said, his voice rougher than I expected.
What about you? Have you been seeing anyone at SC?
I heard the guys are awful there,
he said the last as a joke. But I noticed a tension in his shoulders, as if he were bracing himself for a blow. I rolled my eyes. Oh, please. There's lots of great guys there. I squinted. But I'm not dating anyone.
So you haven't found anyone better than me yet,
Leo smirked. His question threw me off. I started nervously playing with the salt on the bar table.
Oh, you know, because of the little deal we made when we were 18, after you turned me down.
Leo and I had made a marriage pact our senior year of high school. He told me he had feelings for me and thought we should give the boyfriend-girlfriend thing a real try. I said we were too young, the timing wasn't right, and that I needed to have my journalism career in place before I got serious with anyone.
I was a really fun 18-year-old.
But I had my reasons. My mom, not having the opportunity to achieve her dreams, made me even more determined to achieve my own. And her and my grandma wanted that for me as well. So much so that throughout my teen years, my mom would take me to her psychic friend who would tell me that if I wanted to be successful, I'd have to stay focused and not get caught up in relationships. I'm about 99% sure my mom paid him to say such things. But for someone like me who thrived on being ambitious and was also superstitious, it was enough to keep me on track. So, to appease Leo, and so our years of friendship wouldn't sink down the drain, I suggested that we make a pact to marry each other at 28, if both of us were still single. 28 made sense to me. I would have my career in place by then, and it was 10 years from 18. And 10 was my lucky number. We said we'd get married in Cancun, Mexico, where his father, a French chef, met his mother, a Mexican romance novelist. And for our honeymoon, we'd go to Marbella, Spain,
where my Spanish-Moroccan parents were from. Leo and I were both mixed race and children of immigrants, something else we had in common. Leo thought the pact was just a way for me to string him along until I found someone better. It wasn't. He'd been my best friend since first grade, lived right across the street from me, and I didn't want to lose him. And I also thought there could maybe be a time for us one day, just not then. But considering a couple weeks later he got back with Elizabeth, I figured he forgot about the whole ridiculous thing. Apparently, he didn't. I met Leo's gaze. The background noise in the bar faded away as I stared. Soon, the rest of the room seemed to vanish, until it was just the two of us there. Just him. You remember that? Of course. It wasn't that long ago. He grinned and crossed his arms, his biceps brimming through his tight shirt. Everything he did felt sexy. Every move he made, every word he said. He didn't feel like my childhood friend, who I'd learned how to ride a bike with, and snuck into my first R-rated movie with, and trick-or-treated with every Halloween. He felt like something else, like someone more. Suddenly, I felt weirdly nervous. My heart rabbited against my ribs. I forced myself to take a deep breath and tore my gaze from his so as not to distract myself. So, do we still have a deal then? I tried for lighthearted and almost made it work. Leo tipped back the last of his drink. Now that is up to you. Up to me? I waved a dismissive hand at him. You're the one who's always off and on with Elizabeth, or has some girl on your arm. Leo leaned in closer and brought his hand to rest gently on top of mine. I froze, aware of every muscle, every inch where his palm rested on my body. I could feel his breath tickle my face. He stared like no one had ever stared at me before. There were flecks of green in his hazel eyes as they caught the dim bar lights. Jasmine, us being together has always been up to you. About an hour later, a few more appetizers and another drink in, I wasn't wasted, but I was certainly tipsy. And based on the empty glass in front of Leo, I wagered he was in the same boat. Booze drinking aside, we were high on nostalgia and drunk on memories that night. We reminisced about the time we drove to Santa Monica after Leo got his license and how we ended up eating saltwater taffy on the beach till after midnight. We felt so cool and free and on top of the world. And I didn't even care that I got grounded for missing curfew. We remembered that time in seventh grade when we both got sent to the principal's office for leaving campus during lunch to walk to Taco Bell. Leo told the principal it was his fault, that he convinced me to do it, and got assigned a few days of detention. I felt bad and offered to make it up to him by doing his English homework, an offer that he refused. We also talked about our first little kiss in first grade. It was a peck on the lips that we briefly shared behind a birch tree. Leo had helped me with my limonada stand that day, and I was in an extra good mood because I made a whopping $20. My glee over earning some money would have probably led me to kissing practically anyone, but I was glad that it was Leo.
Okay, be honest, Leo said, his fingers grazing my hand again.
Maybe by accident, I couldn't be sure. We were both resting our arms on the bar for balance by now. Still, the chills returned.
I know you like to keep things close to the chest. But how many people have you kissed? Not including me, he held up a finger. Before you say anything, I know we were only kids, but you should know that our first kiss in your parents' backyard rocked my little six-year-old world.
Oh, come on. No, it didn't.
It did. I thought about it for days. Even started writing Leo plus Jasmine with hearts all over my notebooks. I smiled, unaware that six-year-old Leo was so sentimental.
Then, spring break senior year, the night of the marriage pact, he made a drum roll sound on the bar table.
Jasmine and Leo kiss again.
Leo changed the tone of his voice to sound like an on-air reporter. I burst into laughter. His eyes caught mine. Sparked.
And you know what? You're a good kisser. A really good kisser. Hot.
Made the fact that you turned me down even more soul-crushing.
He winked.
A smile overtook my face and I turned away in embarrassment. Though I couldn't deny I enjoyed hearing it.
Soul-crushing? I countered. Based on your constant lack of singleness, you've seemed to have managed just fine.
What can I say? He shrugged. I'm a survivor.
I laughed and took another sip of my drink.
So?
Leo nudged at my shoulder.
How many people have been lucky enough to make out with Jasmine Prado?
Leo folded his hands innocently, but his smile was all devilry.
Just please tell me you didn't do too much with Brian Doyle.
Brian was a brief boyfriend I had during our junior year of high school. Leo didn't approve of him. I wasn't aware my dating history was going to be a topic of discussion tonight, I joked. The reality was, I didn't have much of a dating history. Leo was aware of this. I theorized he was trying to gauge if I was still the same picky bitch whose heart had to be earned. Now that we were away at college, we didn't have eyes on each other like we used to.
Oh, come on. It's fun.
For you, maybe. I paused and tapped my fingers on the mojito glass. Fine. Maybe four? Leo raised his brows.
Four. Wow. Sounds, wild.
He nudged me, teasing. I playfully slapped his shoulder. Hey, I've been busy keeping my grades up and working on my craft. I'm committed to making this writing dream of mine happen, remember?
I've been busy too, keeping my grades up, playing soccer, working towards my dreams. But I still find time for other things. It's important to experience the full breadth of life.
I rolled my eyes. I got it. He was having fun, and I was the boring one who was 21 and hadn't even had sex yet. What's your number then? I asked, secretly hoping it wasn't in the millions.
More than four,
he admitted slowly, avoiding my gaze.
But not a ton. I've been with Elizabeth more often than not, and you know I'm not a cheater.
And then, for some reason, I blurted this out. Have you had sex yet? Leo looked like a deer in the headlights, like he was smack dab in the middle of the road and couldn't get away fast enough from oncoming traffic.
Yeah,
he answered while playing with the basket of tortilla chips in front of him.
Elizabeth and I first had sex after spring fling, senior year. But don't worry, we used a condom.
I suddenly couldn't breathe.
A lump formed in my throat.
It felt so massive I couldn't swallow. For a brief second, I thought I was having an allergic reaction, but no. I was reacting to the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?